Okay, welcome back. We have a pleasant Bena semester. I had the privilege to give one of the shiur in Bena semester, and I had the shiur gift for people who worked away. So I did something, they were doing the fourth parak, so maybe I'll get you the Marmar Komos in the quarter, right? I think very interesting. Nothing to do with what we're learning here, which is the Isruchai, an interesting presentation, which I think you get Hanar from, so maybe another time. I debated whether to skip or to go weiter. You know, I thought we'll go for a little bit, unless people feel strongly otherwise. I thought we'd go weiter from where we left off. Some shurim are doing that, some shurim is going to the third parak, some are going to the second parak, or we did some of the second parak before Yantav. So I thought for the time being we'd go weiter, and then maybe Pesach time will switch to a different parak, you know, we'll see. And then further, I was further Mayan, should skip some of these drushes, you know, on Daf Tal and Daf Hey. But I came across and learned some interesting things. I hope you'll find them interesting. They're not exactly all sukkah in Yanim. I'm not sure we'll do everything, but the Rala, I think we're going to continue straight. So let's take a look, have the sheet on Daf Tal and Beis, which is really where we left off. Where the Gemara said, the Mishnah, the Gemara approached the Mishnah that the sukkah walls have to be at least 10 tefachim high, right? That's where, so it's six lines from the bottom of Dalam and Beis. It says, V'she'eino gevoa asar tefachim, right? That's one of the things which the first Mishnah that Beis and Aleph said is no good, is if the sukkah is not the 10 tefachim high. Regarding the maximum height, 20 amas, there was a machlokas. There is no machlokas about. So the Gemara asks right off the bat, Minolon, where does this come from that a sukkah wall has to be 10 tefachim high? So Morris says, Itmar, Rav Chanina, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chaviva. These four Amoraim, Rav, Rav Chanina, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chaviva. And then the Gemara sort of digresses. Well, Master Bechula, say the Moed, Kolki, Hai Zuga, Chaluf, Rav Yochanan, Rav Yonason. Okay. He mentions Rav and Rav Chanina. And sometimes there would some Amorim replaced Rav Yochanan with Rav Yonason. Okay, whoever it was that said it, it's not a empirical point for us at the moment. It said Aron Tisha v'Chapores Tefach. The Aron in the Beis Hamikdash was in the Mishkan. The Beis Hamikdash was 9 tefachim high, and the Chapores, the covering on top of the Aron, that was another Tefach. Harei Kanasora, that's 10 tefachim. So first of all, Rashi fills in a little bit of the blanks. First, it says Rav Chanina, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, Mastul Achnos, the Kamon Bechula said a moed. Call Hechad the Mina High Zuga. Whenever you mention this pair of couples, Kiadadi together, Bishmaitza Ikamar Dem Chalf Rav Yochanan, Ma'ala Be'erusan. Fine. Well, how do we know? First of all, the Aron is Tisha. That's a pasuk Chumash. Okay, Govo Dechsev Ve'Amo Vachetzi Kol Masal. The Torah says explicitly in the beginning of Parshas Truma and repeats again later that the Aron is supposed to be nine tefachim high, because it says Amo Vachetzi Kol Masal. Amo is six tefachim, half an amo is three tefachim, so 6 and 3 is 9, obviously. Okay, Amo Vachetzi Kol Masal, it actually said. So the Torah tells us it's 9 tefachim, okay, in terms of the height there. And the Kaporis was a tefach, and therefore the grand total is 10. What's that got to do with us? So the Gemara continues, Uksiv v'no adati l'choshom v'dibarti itcho me'al ha-kaporis. Torah says that Kadosh Baruch Hu indicates, this is also in the Chumash, v'no adati l'choshom v'dibarti peshmos perchofei pasachopeis. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will sort of meet with you here, I will speak to you from on the kaporis, right? V'dibarti itcho me'al ha-kaporis, me'ek shakruvim, asher aron edus, eis kol asher atzevos el b'nei Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, this is where he's going to come down and speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. From the top of the arm. Okay. The Tanya, we go to Hamad Allah, the Brisa says, Yosi Omer me Olam lo yarda, Shechina lamata, lo Olam, Moshe lo Olam arom. The Shechina never came all the way down to earth, nor did any human being, even Moshe ben Eliyahu Navi, go all the way up to the heavens. Shenemar, HaShemayim, Shemayim HaShem, Aretz HaSan HaLeyadam. There's a difference in Shemayim Aretz. Shemayim is the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the exclusive domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Aretz, so to speak, is the exclusive domain of mankind. Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Aretz, HaSalim, Ve'adam. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never came all the way down onto the earth, and no human being ever went all the way up to heavens. Okay, now, the problem is, but I thought we just said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would come down onto the Aron, the top of the Aron, and speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi fills in the blanks again. Ksiv, the Al Kaporis Yerich, Maminot, Lamal Measura, Mifsukarishuse. Apparently, he would come no lower than 10 Tvachim, because he spoke from the top of the Aron. Now, the Aron, we just said, with the Kaporis was 10 Tvachim. So that's as low as a Kodesh Baruch came. Apparently, that's not called what? Coming down onto earth. That's not an encroachment on the Aron, it's not the Adam, because he was still 10 Tvachim above the ground level of the earth. Memela, you see from there that above 10 Tvachim is already considered what? A separate domain into another Rishus. That's how you put everything together. That's how the Gemara proves. It sounds a little bit convoluted, but that's how the Gemara proves that a sukkah wall has to be 10 Tvachim. Obviously, there are pieces missing here, which I don't want to discuss, but in terms of the simple reading of the Gemara is telling us that 10 Tvachim is above 10 Tvachim is a separate domain, because otherwise you can't have it both ways. Because Baruch Hu said he's going to speak, Pasim Chomish. Okay, we know Adil Chisham and the Barito Shom Ala Kaparis. I'm going to speak to you from there, but we also have a tradition that the Shkina never came all the way down. So apparently, coming down on top of the Kaparis is not called all the way down. Why? Because 10 Tvachim. So above 10 Tvachim, Tvachim is considered a separate Rishus. Okay, I printed you on the page if you want to look. I thought that Rashi is a little bit clearer in Eruvin. So if you want to take a look, it's not a big deal. This is the same concept is discussed. I look in Source 5. Come back to the others. We look in Source 5. so it's a Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Dalam Beis. The Gemara there says, Mechitzas Doraisu. The concept of Mechitza being 10 Tvachim and so on is Doraisu, the Siv. Dramamar, Aron Tisha, the Kapor is Tefach, Ari Kamasar, right? The same sort of a parallel Gemara in Eruvin there. I think Rashi is a little clearer. That's why I printed it. The Rashi in Eruvin, Dalam Beis, the Dilmas, the Aron Tisha, the Kapor is Tefach, Aron Goba Tisha Tvachim, the Siv, Avava Chitzik, Omosova, Kapor is Tefach, Ari Asar. Right, the same thing. Uksiv the barit itchom al kapores v'tanya perakam the sukkah our gemara. Rabbi Yosi Omer la olam erdu shina matem asor. The ksiv hashemayim shalom al shoras et hadam. Ule matem asor tvachim choshev eretz. Obviously, lower than 10 tvachim is considered eretz. The ksiv with the barit itchom al kapores. Alma asor hamechitza de lemalam asor lo choshev erushus tachtis el erushus achrisi. That's the key phrase from Rashi. Okay, I mean, it's not a big deal, as you said here, but I just thought it was a little bit clearer that apparently above Asura is not considered Tachtis, it's considered a separate Rishos, a separate domain, and therefore it's not an encroachment on the Aretz Nasam Livne Adam. Okay, that's the proof as far as we're concerned. So now the Gemara asks, just to analyze it, so 1 second, fourth line of Hayyamad Allah. Below Yorda Shkina Lamata, is that true that the Shkina never went lower than 10 from Boksiv? By Yered Hashem Al Har Sinai. You know that pasuk, right? Parsha Sisa. Okay. Baruch Shemar Sinai, Rosh Harvai, Kosh and Moshe, Rosh Harvai Al Moshe. Right? It says, Vayir Hashem Al Har Sinai. Sounds like the mountain's part of Aretz. Aretz is not the mountain's part of Aretz. Sounds like he did come down. So my answer is no. Lamala Mel Sarah Tachim. Taki was the, as Rashi says, Tibutu. No, it was above 10 Tachim. It didn't come all the way down. It came down. In other words, the Lashon of Vayir, it still works. And Al Har Sinai doesn't mean literally came on to Har Sinai, but within 10 Tvachim, so it's not a steward. I, the Hoksiv, the Pasuk, and Navi, in the Zechariah, it says, regarding Osir Lobo, it says, Amdu Raglo by Amahu Al Har Zaysim, right? The full Pasuk, Amdu Raglo by Amahu Al Har Zaysim, Asher Al Pnir Shalim Mekedem, Uvoka Har Zaysim, Mechetzo Mizracho, Vyama Gate, Dolom Odu, Mosh Chatzi Arat, Safon, Mechetzo Negba. I think it's the Haftorah of the first day of Sukkot that we read about Kodesh Baruch Hu coming, you know, Kol Kadosho, you know, Biyado. At that point, Lost in Love, and it says that the mountains will split, that there will be some kind of earthquake or something. So it says there, the Amdu Raglo by Amahu Ahar Azazim. So the Gemara gives the same Teretz, Lamalam, as our Tom, same thing. Now you might wonder, I mean, you already said it, why is it, you know, why do you have to, just a side point, why do you have to repeat? I mean, you bring another Pasuk Shkai. Okay, you already said, Vayirin Al Har Sinai, right? So what you say, the Torah says, why did the Gemara try with another Pasuk? What's the possible, do you already explained Vayirin Al Har Sinai, Vayirin Hashem Al Har Sinai, that it meant Lamala Menasar, so obviously the same thing over here, what's the difference?
This Pasuk is a clear question of the Omdu Raglo.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think the Omdu Raglo, one thing Vayirin, the Omdu Raglo sounds like, I mean, obviously it's a Tibetan Shaman album, an anthropomorphic, because we're have legs, but I mean, but it's a stronger, it's an even stronger indication of Mamish here, the Omdu Raglo. Wasn't just Vayirin. Okay, anyway, the Omdu Raglo, but the Mice are going to be the same Terence. So, okay, so we accept the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never encroached on Varz HaSan and Adam. How do we know the other way is also true? Because remember, Biosi on the top said two things. He said, one, Me'alo Yod HaShin L'mata, and also, Me'alo Moshe V'Elio L'Amora. No human being, even Moshe Rabbeinu Elio Navi did not go up. So how do we know that? Is that true? V'Aksiv Umo by Mamar HaSinai in Parshas Yisro. Next week said, Yomoshe Olo El Elokim. Right? Moshe went up. Says how do we has the same time. L'mata, Masora. Okay? Which kind of means, in a way, if you think about it, the middle, that from Asar Tvachim above ground till Asar Tvachim below heaven, however we understand that, that's, you know, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come down there, and Moshe and Eliyahu can go up there. You know, that's, I don't know, no man's land or whatever. You know, everybody, it's I don't know what it's called. Everybody can go there, free space. In other words, it's neither Eretz nor it's Shemayim. So it's not Eretz, it's not a violation of Eretz, it's not like Adam for Hashem to come to that in between Eretz, nor is it a violation of a Shemayim Hashem from Moshe Elio to go, and it's kind of like that, you know, that middle ground, so to speak. Okay, but anyway, so but what do we do with the Sigmar? It's the same Teretz, right? Moshe Elokim Lamat Masar Vaksi Vayal Elio Basara Hashemayim Elio, when he, I don't know exactly, didn't die, went up in a storm and went into heaven, right? Elio, as you know, the psukim there in Malachim described the Elohim when he he died, went to heaven. There was a fire and a whole thunder and a whole thing. He went up in the storm to heaven. It's also the matan asar. Okay, one more attempt. V'haksiv me'achayiz p'nei kisei pershas olav anon. That's a pasuk in Iyov talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he grasped on to the very throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enveloped his cloud over him. The Amor of Tanchol Melamed Shapirish Shakai Mizivshkin. Also, the word Parshes is a play. It's an unusual word. Eo Parshes. It's a Russian term. It's Pirish Shakai Mizivshkin. Also, Vanan Olav. Also, Lamata Masara. Okay, Lamata Masara. It was also Lamata Masara. So somehow, HaKadosh Moshe went up. If you remember, the Medrash says. I mean, I spelled all out here. But the Medrash says that, if you want to see Rashi, says Shapira Shakai Mizif Shkinazo, Perish is not no Trikan Kardarsh. It's not Trikan, you know, it's a contracted form of that expression. But anyway, what I wanted to mention is the Gemara in Shabbos, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah, so the Malachim didn't want to give it up. They said, Tuna Odcha Al Shamayim. Right? Don't let go of the Torah. Torah belongs here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, give him a teretz. You have a teretz? Why should I give it to you? You know, you have a teretz. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, I'll give you a teretz, but I'm afraid they're going to burn me up. They're going to kill me, the Malachim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, hang on to the throne and be protected. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, remember this going on? Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, well, what do you mean? Do you have parents? It says, Kabbalah, do you eat? You know, so that Moshe got the Torah. That's a Moshe convinced HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give the Torah to us. So, but in any event, that's Ma'achayis Me'kisei. They quote that Pasuk. Simchas Torah, there's a piyut that some shul say, Eskabtzu Malach. Now they made a song, a popular song at the wedding, Eskabtzu Malach Mizel Zen. So there, in that piyut, I'm not sure if it's the song that they play now at the Chasana, but in that piyut, it also says Ma'achayis Pnei, maybe it was also the song, I don't know what I'm talking about. So I think they have that phrase, but anyway, it's in that piyut for sure. I can't remember it's in the song, but be that as it may, it's also a matir masor tvachim. The Gemara says, wait a minute, not so fast. You want to say he only went up, but wait a minute, where's the kisei? If he's holding on to the kisei, right, then it was above time, then it was within the ten tvachim. So the Gemara says, we call moko maches me kisei. See, no, ishtaru me ishtaru le kisei adasor nokapo. Because Baruch Hu lowered the kisei to the 10 tefachim mark so he could hold on to it. Okay, end of the sugya. So that's the that's the Gemara. So it's an unusual limud, you know, to come to the. But the question that's sort of gnawing at me, which you know, the Rishonim don't. I mean, I guess they take it for granted. I mean, it's a crypt, you know, it's a quick line in Tosfos. But like, what are we talking about? We're talking about the walls of a sukkah. You know, we're talking about the defanas of the sukkah. That's what our issue is. How do we know the defanas of the sukkah have to be 10 tefachim high? So a whole limud, that 10 tefachim is a different rishus with the Aaron, with this, with Moshe, and Eliyahu, and everything's 10 tefachim. What's going on here? In other words, we're trying to know about a sukkah being 10 tefachim high. That's the issue, right? So Tosus makes a comment. Let's take a look. I printed it. So it's Tosus here, dollar base. So the last Tosus of the page, one line. Quick Tosus. Asar tefachim nolim. Behad be'ina name gabe Shabbos mechitza asar mehachi alfinim. Tosus tells us that this Gemara is also the source, and that's why it comes up there in Erevin that I showed you. I only printed that Gemara Erevin of Dalman Beis to show you the Rashi. I thought they spelled it out more clearly. But the Lamaisa there, they're not talking about Sukkah. They're talking about Erevin for Mechitzas for Shabbos purposes, for separate Shus, for carrying for Hotzah. Okay? So the standard mechitza for Hotzah and for Shabbos purposes is also 10 tefachim. That's also learned from here. That's what Tosfos is telling us. Right? That one simple line of Tosfos, that's learned from here. Okay? But what I think emerges is that the Gemara is telling us that the walls of a sukkah have to function like a mechitza. Okay? How so? That apparently the sukkah has to be considered a separate space. In other words, what's inside the sukkah, it's not just to build a structure that you can eat or sleep in. It's to create another space. This is not part of that same space, my yard, my patio, whatever else. I have to create a makom. A sukkah is a makom. Okay, it has to be a makom mukaf mechitza, so to speak. I think the Gemara says it's not a coincidence that a mechitza of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim high and a mechitza of Shabbos. As we're going to see, I mean, I put it in my comments so you've got a chance. We generally assume, or most people generally assume, for example, that a mechitza and a shul for davening purposes to separate to the men's section and women's section is not the same din of 10 tefachim. And sometimes the 10 tefachim would be a rather short mechitza. My 10 tefachim is about 36 to 40 inches. Okay, you know, the Lamaisa poskim don't accept that, as we'll see later, under emergency circumstances or, you know, special case, whatever, but as a general rule, shitas are 54 inches and 60 inches and 66 inches, all the different, I'm not going to go through all the, mechitza measurements and so on, but that mechitza is different, that's a mechitza materis, that's a different type of mechitza, right? That's why you're allowed to put up a mechitza on Shabbos. It's not considered bona, it's not considered creating a separate domain, because you're allowed on Shabbos. Sometimes you have a Shabbaton, or you have something else where they ate in that room and then they're going to down in the room, so they'll put up a mechitza. That's okay to do that on Shabbos. Okay, that's not called the bona. So, but anyway, be that as it may, but what we do see is that the mechitza, the dolphin for a sukkah, has to have the chavis that we spoke about a little bit. That was pretty much the previous sukkah, mechitza and keres. Remember the whole Gemara that we had on the earlier part of Dalman Beis, really, was what that was about. Right? There's a din of mechitza and keres, and so clearly, but what emerges is that the sukkah has to be sort of a separate makom. It's got to be a separate domain. It's not just a binyan, but it's got to be its own, it's got to constitute its own makom. Okay? Now, we find, therefore, other parallels. I think that we can point to other parallels between the walls of the sukkah and a dolphin for Shabbos purposes. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Oh, it's Shabbos. Tosus makes the equation. Tosus says that the same mokor, this whole business with the ten tochim being a separate domain and so on for the aron, that teaches you that the sukkah also is a separate domain. And that's what Rashi said. Rashi says, Rashi here, Mifsik or Rishusa, or Rashi in Erev and Rishusa. What do you say? Yeah, what we're saying?
I think this also explains maybe why the Kabbalists are not really part of this, but I think the whole reason for their existence is just being Mifsik.
I think so. According to those Shitas, Mechitzas are not really, because it's really, that's what it's really what's inside that counts. That's the Ruchayim, we'll get to it. It's really, the area should be its own makom. That's what comes out, which we would not necessarily have known with regards to sukkah. Okay, but the Chiddush, or the what the Gemara is telling us, that the sukkah constitutes a separate domain, separate from what's around it. Again, it does flow from the previous Gemara, about Mechitzas and Keres, that was what last time. But we do find this in other areas as well. So, for example, there's a later sukkah. So we turn to the Chav Dalam base in the Mishnah, where the Chav Dalam base, the Mishnah says, Ha'osis in the middle of the page, middle of Chav Dalam base, Ha'osis sukaso bein ha'ilonos. The guy is able to build a sukkah like a treehouse, but not where the floor is up. Usually the treehouse, the floor is up on top, where the kids play up there. But he builds a sukkah in such a way that the trees the branches of the trees become almost like the walls of the structure. Okay? If you've ever been to Disney World, it's called the Swiss Family Robinson tree. You know, there's that story about this family that got stranded on some island, somewhere living. So they have like a, you walk through, and they showed how they built, the imagination, how they built this house, and it's like the branches, it's fake, not real, maybe some of the branches are real, I don't know, it's hard to tell them what's real and what's fake, but it's, you know, the branches become the wall, you know, that's what's like, osa sukkos ben ilanos, okay, vailanos defanos, look, ksheret, it's probably kosher sukkah, that's what Mishnah says, ksheret, okay. Now Rashi fills in, but the sukkah is not supported by the branches. It's not like up in the air, so to speak, like a treehouse. Okay, but which it is in that Disney World line. But the it's the ground, but the funnel. So then they put the schach across the top. That's kosher. So that's the Mishnah says chavdal on the base. So the Gemara says amar v'achav Yaakov kol mechitza. I'm on mechitza now. She'ena yichol olamo beruach mitzuya. Ena mechitza. Okay? A mechitza which is too flimsy to stand up in an ordinary wind is not considered a valid mechitza. I don't care how high it is. It's not a matter of the height. Okay? It has to be sturdy enough to withstand a normal wind. Okay? That's a din by mechitzas. That's a din, for example. Okay, I'll tell you where this comes up. Halacha lemaisa. By Erevin, by our modern day city Erevin. Okay? You know, if you have a, what is, what we mentioned in the past, what is an Erev? An Erev is a collection of, the term Erev is not really the right term, you know, for what we call the Erev. We said that there's an Erev, I live in Teaneck, there's an Erev around Teaneck. There's no Erev around Teaneck. An Erev is really, the word's combining, it's a box of food that's left in one of the shuls. Okay, that's the Erev. What you have around the town with the telephone wires, whether here in Washington Heights or anywhere else, is really a series of tzuras ha-pesachs, right? Of openings, the shape of a door, it's like a ches. Okay, the two side posts and one cross post, like you see over here in the green. Okay, the letter ches. So the idea is that the chiddush of an Erev is that where, let's have, I'm in this room. So on Shabbos I can carry in here, right? So indoors. What if this door is open? So I can still carry, because most of them are closed. What if there's a door here, and a door here, and a door here, and they're all open? You still carry, as long as there's more standing. But what if you have no doors? The chiddush from Erev, even though there's actually no doors, there's just a series of doorways, okay? So then the chiddush is you're allowed to carry, okay? But the idea of an Erev, so if you have, theoretically, you should be able to tell you, an Erev should be a very simple thing to build. You take the area that you want to enclose, okay? Put a post over here, and a post over here, and a post over here, and a post over here. Four posts surrounding the area, and then just run a string from one to the other, okay? And then your area is completely enclosed. So you could have a several mile area, several square mile area enclosed. Why do we make such a big fuss? Every few yards is another pole. Just pick four corners that will encompass the whole area you want to include, and put up four posts. The answer is because the door frame has to be such that theoretically it would be able to hold a delas shel kash, a straw, a flimsy door. So the poles should not be further apart than that shear. Okay, now what exactly that shear is, that's a whole different discussion. Okay, Shechter's the opinion that it's the equivalent of about a block and a half in the city, a city block and a half. You know, by us, it's a couple, you can skip a couple of telephone poles. Of course, there's only true if everything's straight. If it moves, so that's a different issue. You have to put up a new post every time there's a directional change. But if it's all, even if it's all straight, like some camp or something, even if it's completely straight, you can't just put up, like up in the mountains, in a hotel or in a camp, you can't just put up four things and that's it, because it has to be strong enough. So every few, whatever, how you figure out, it's a little hard to figure out, but you have to use a little bit of imagination. Would this be able to, theoretically, to support the flimsy door? Because the mechitza, which can't stay up, so that's not called a mechitza. It's a similar concept. I'm just trying to mention the halacha lemaisa. But anyway, so the Mishnah, the Gemara says that a mechitza, that ain't a yachal lama ruchon, ain't a mechitza. Okay? So Gemara asks, so one second, Tanan, but this Mishnah just said, ha'osis ukas ubeino yilonos defanos la ksheira. It's kosher. V'ha ka'ozel v'asi. But branches, trees sway. They go back and forth in the wind. so that they're not really standing still. They're swaying. They're not fall apart, but they're swaying, right? Rashi says, the wind, you know, makes it sway back to and fro. So it means it can't withstand, won't stand still in a ruach mitzvah. So how in the world can that be a valid wall for the sukkah? That's the Gemara's kasha. Okay, and if you tell me it's true that a mechitza has to be yichol olam of ruach mitzvah, so how can the Mishnah allow tree branches or tree trunks even to be the walls of a sukkah when they sway back and forth? We can see it. Well, not here, but with the trees, you can see them swaying back even in a regular wind. I'm not talking about a hurricane. Okay, a regular wind, the branches move back and forth. So more answers. The more says, "B'maya skin and bekashin." Okay, yeah, we're talking about heavy ones. Rashi, Ilano zikain rovin, real gazunta tree trunks. Nothing moving those. Okay, even the strong ones. We're talking here where it wasn't just a flimsy little tree, but it's a real stark, bekashin, old ones, strong ones, and so on. That's the sugya there in Sukkah Chavdal Bay. So again, what do we see? We see a din by mechitzas. It has to be mechitza. Has to be such that it's roy lama baruch mitzuya. And a Gemara challenged something in the Hilchos Sukkah. So what do we see again? That the defanos of the sukkah have a chalal shem of mechitza to create another area. So I just showed you. If you look in the back of the pages, there's an interesting machlokas, and it can have ramifications for sukkah also. Okay, it's one of the problems that some people raise with the so-called prefab canvas sukkahs. Okay, the canvas sukkahs, the walls sway in the wind, right? It's canvas, so it puffs out and puffs in depending on the direction of the wind. And the question is that okay? All right, in other words, that's why some people tie it down, or that now they have some guy a couple years ago, he marketed something called, I think, the sukkah gartel. Okay, it was a belt. Basically, that he put on the two belts he put around the circumference of the square, okay, which prevented it from swaying because it had this belt locked in place. Okay, so that's the issue with the canvas sukkah. I just want to show you, if you take a look on the back page, the Mishnah Yaakov is a tshuva. In Chelak Arachayim Sim Kuf Chav Gimel, Mishnah Yaakov was early Aaron, the Talmud of Chaim Volozhin, I think the brother of the Keren Aura. Okay, so. The Mishnah, it's a long tshuva about Tzuras HaPesach and different things. So he writes, you see on the back page there, the old time of Rabbi Yikam Milso, the Hob Eis Haruach, who holech novana, the Yotzah Bekifoso, af Mishmi Kenegan Mezuz, the Chutz, the Ein Al Gabba Mamish. Okay, Sabina, I feel him in the Tzad, come on also, Kum Kol Shekin, the Yotzah, the Chutz, the Ein Shom Mashkov Klal, but he has a problem. He said if the walls move in the wind, then no good. Okay, because we have a mechitza sheni yochal lama ruach mitzvah. The lav from mechitza klal af be'esha kayomin. It's an important point. He said even if right now there's no wind, it's staying still. But if it's a type of mechitza that could sway or does sway in the wind, it's no good. Even though I tell me right now, okay, so, but it's no good even right now af be'esha kayomin. Ukmavur more besukh erim per kamen kamadukli v'chein pishu kol poskim. Okay, he's wondering, what if they move a little bit, but they don't move off the, you know, like off the post, they don't off the doorpost, you know, they don't move that far. He says, Tzorach Ian, Kayvan Shah Koponim, Haruach Manidaso, but it is moving. It doesn't have to move mamish off kilter, off the hole, there has to be enough to move. And it was how much movement is movement. And he's Machmer at the Mishkos Yaakov. He says, Kamosha Kazbash Mishin Shama Bays, Rahana Mishin Shama Bays, Kazbahedja. Talking about tree branches, and they're only good if you fill in the space between the branches with straw or with other things, and you bind it down. Because Yaakov seems to be machner that the wind cannot move at all. It's kind of like a wall. Okay, or talking about ruach mitzuya, an average wind. I mean, a ruach shenemitzuya can uproot the house. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a tornado. Okay, v'chein b'vur shuachos ben ilanos lonos tefanos im hayu chazokim, if they're strong branches. Oh, shekashrom b'chizek osam, you'd bound them down, you tie them so strong. Ad shelo teir ruach mitzuya menidah osam tamid, etc. Apparently it's a no good if it doesn't stay. וכן משהו הקדוש ברוך הוא אמר שם בשם הבאך, משהו הקדוש בשם החבר, שעושים לחיץ מריאל, שעשו קונה קונה, okay, etc. So he brings other ראיות, okay, הרי להדיה, דמישום נענוע בלבד, יש לו פוסלו אם אין שם קונה. Just a movement. And he works out the sugya that we just read, חב דעל הרבה, that way. Well, in his דייתי, כול הסוגיה בסוכה, הכי משמע. דמק שעדו אחר ביעקב, okay, that he said, "Dabar kol mechitza yirachal abruch mitzuyah lo shema mechitza lo lachshma mechitza o machshma snisa o sukkas medalos v'ha kaz v'as v'al karkav ein kavachom medalos v'as v'kol kav adshin if solam ha mechitza the rebbe shavenein." But he said, "Who said wasn't the ones moving that much?" Then came my sakhar of sukkah l'shuri, because how could you have, if you're talking about an arasuki on chavdal that it moved so much. So why would it ever happen this good? The dimma be'emtsa sudas, so in the middle of while you're eating, it's going to blow. Okay, it's going to blow away. Okay, it'll be possible, because you're not eating the nimtsa elcha be'esh rosh and below sukkah. Be'echeshu v'chatchila. Okay, so Ella, it must be, okay, and like we have that, because you said we have that case, if you use an animal as the wall of a sukkah, it's no good, because the animal may walk off. Okay, I mean, so this would be the same thing here. So how can we say, Ella vaday borod, havaday yodad, ayri be'inyan, we're talking about a case where you know it's not going to move at all in the wind. Okay, and even so, they wanted to pass it because you know the ruach, the wind moves a little bit. We're not talking about a complete that's blown off. Even a little bit is no good. Anyway, that's the Mishnah of Yaakov. He holds that any type of movement, so that would be a problem certainly for the canvas sukkahs. No doubt about it. Okay, because it blows off the, you know, even a little bit. Now, they have them that you can tie them down. You know, probably half the people won't do that, but Lamaisa, if you have a bar in the middle, you have this belt in the middle, it doesn't blow, that is a different story. The Chazon Ish, however, disagrees. I printed it aside. The Chazon Ish looks Eruv, Simon Ayin Zayin Ozvav, on the left side of the page there. Okay, he says, Koma, and I say Gemara, Chavtah on base, right? Even if it's not going to blow away, Chazanish learns the Gemara. What's the concern? The concern is the wind is going to spread the branches and they're now further apart than three tvachim. So now I don't have a war. They're further apart. That's the concern. Okay? Ubatel le mechitza. I don't know mechitza. Okay? Hilchav posel apushah shehein noin ushketim. Noin ushketim. Mechitza also shlemet. Mechitza arai shehein ochal amruach. Aval I ha mechitza chazoka. Shehein haruach yochal afazua. Ela misnodeded me'at lekan lekan. Aber b'chol shaita mechitza me'al yisov. However, if you have again picture canvas, so it moves a little bit, but it's still at that point it's still a wall. It's not that it loses its name of a wall because it's not a unit anymore. It remains a unit. Okay, there he says nearer the shaper have mechitza me'as baruch. That's okay. And it's a chazanish's maker. He said the Mishka Zakov seems to say that any type of movement off its position is already a problem. Whereas Chazanish said, no, it's only a problem if when it's being blown, the entity of a mechitza is not in place. You follow? And that's so the Chazanish disagrees. Okay? But Dibra Maganoi quotes Maganoram, and he said, it works out, that's what it means. V'chein hadin in other places, Iharuach, V'chein hadin v'tzos ha-pesach. It didn't come out so clear. Iharuach kofafta lamata. Okay, if the wind blows it out, so now it's not Laman of a Yud anymore, or it's further away from where it's supposed to be, and so on. Okay, so that's the Chazanish's kulam. Okay, again, if we go to the very end. Ella b'tnuah she shoveres l'shaita samchitza. V'acharam zal sosmo zal opershin in them. Mishkas Yaakov did. Okay, so that's a question of exactly how much movement is that? The Mishkan Yaakov seems this is really no movement. Chazal is willing to allow movement as long as the item still stays a single entity. Okay? Just wanted to show you that. The halacha, if we take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Reish Lamed Sifyud, back in Source 11, or Achayim, Siman Tov Reish Lamed Sifyud, Hilchos Sukkah. Ha'os Sukkos Men Elah, Zonos Tufanos, Imayu Chazokim, Oshakosh Osom, Chizik Osom, Achmatir Omutsu, Manido Osom, Tomid, Umilei Men Avir, Mitevan of Akash, Shatina Osom, Roch, Akash, Ariz Vakshera. Okay, Alkan Enochon Lassos, Kolom Achiz, Amir Shal Pishta Below Konim. That's why he says you should use certain material for mechitas, for defanas, because they're not strong. And they're not, but after that, they can blow apart. You won't realize it. That's the chazan you're talking about, right? But, I mean, it's wrong. It's first, obviously. But mechitas yarog halam b'nei rov mutzuyah. Barot zelas uzestin and tov she yarog mechitas konim and pachos mishosh. It's good to have, again, stuff holding it, supports, and so on. Okay? The Mishabura writes, it's kot memches. Ratzon Lomar, the menidos, I feel like Makach and Ruch Lahapel or something like that. It's not so strong, the mechitzah are not so weak they'll be blown down. Okay? Raksha, they were a whole lech mechitzah, bo, kamal on the shuvlo chashiv mechitzah. I feel about it's a bayi shein shuvlo chal lo chashiv mechitzah. Okay, that's not considered a mechitzah because it could come down. Okay. All right? So that's in terms of that point. But, yeah.
So,
Lepora,
like
Tosis explains that our Gemara back in the Talmud, links and says that the walls of the sukkah have to be a chalos of mechitza. Okay, and it's a now this idea, there's an interesting Reb Chaim that I showed you. So let's look at now the next page. First, I printed the Rambam. The Rambam of Hilchos Shabbos Perek Yud Zayin Al Gimel has nothing to do with sukkah. Okay. So the Rambam writes, "B'chol osin l'chayayim." You can make a lechi out of anything. A lechi is the post, the vertical post, right? Okay. You can make it out of anything. Afilu b'davash yishbur l'chayim, ba'afilu b'yisur hanoah. Okay. And avodah zara atzmo. Okay. B'zana avodah zara. Okay. Oh, asherah. An asherah tree. She'asa lechi kosher. Why? She'alechi ovio kolshu. Okay. The lechi doesn't have to have any width to it. Okay, this is the kolshu. Gova lechi in pachos ma'asar tochem rochel ovio kolshu. The height of lechi is be 10 tochem. Even by the lechis we have by Erevin. The lechis we put up on the 10 tochem high. Okay. And let's skip to me. That's halachiyot beis. Halachiyot gimel. The Rambam, the same thing with the crossbeam, the korah. Bacholos in korah, avalo ba'asherah, but that you can't use an asherah, avodah zarah for why? V'sheyesh l'rochav ha'korah shir, because there is a minimum shir for the rochav, the width of the korah. Bechol ha'shiurin asur min asherah. Anything which requires a shir can't be done through an asherah. V'kam ha'rochav ha'korah in pachos mitefach, has to release the tefach, with ovir kolshu, thickness of kolshu, and so who should they be a cavalaria? It has to be able to hold the brick. I'm fine. Let's analyze this a little bit. First of all, background information. Now, halacha is that something which is used for avodah zarah, like an asherah, is considered halachically like it doesn't exist. Okay, it's called ksusi michtas shirei. Okay, that's really a sugya in the third perek. It talks about a luluv, which comes from an asherah tree. Okay, shalasher shalani dachas. So, because ksuse mirtas shirei, since it's supposed to be destroyed, so it's as if it's cut up, cut apart, and therefore it has no shear. Whenever you have something that has a minimum shear, if it's an avodah zarah item, you can't use it because halachically it's not considered to possess that minimum shear because it's supposed to be destroyed. That's the din of ksuse mirtas shirei. Okay, I probably should have been signed the Gemara later on, but you'll. You understand without it, okay? If you want to see, take a look at the Mishnah on Chof Tes on Beis, the first Mishnah, the third parak. Talks about Lulvan Gozan. Some other things it says, "Shall Asherah b'Shalir Nidachas." Okay, and Rashi writes by Yerni Nidachas. Rashi says over there, "You should do a Sreifa Koi." It's supposed to be burnt, okay? The Siv. Let's call Saul a take boat. And they are in a dach, a city where the robe of the people worship the Avodah Zarah, it's supposed to destroy the city and they burn everything in it. The lulav boy shir dal tvachim. They'll come on. The Mishnah says the lulav has to be at least 4 tvachim high. Okay, the kevan, the eyeless straight for kai, ain't shir kai. The chesaron dom. That's like it's already burnt. It's like it doesn't exist. So that's what the that's the din of susim nichlas shiuri. Let me find it quickly here. Take a look at Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Talking about a lulav of Avodah Zarah. 3 lines about it. The Chsuse Michzah Shiure. The Gemara has the expression. Okay, the Chsuse Michzah Shiure. It's as if it's already burnt, it's as if it's already destroyed, and so on. So, if that's the case, let's come back now. That's talking about Arbaminim, talking about lulav. Okay? Here, in the Shabbos Perek Yitzayim, it's talking about making a lechi or a korah out of a piece of wood or whatever. So, the Rambam says, let's look at it in Reb Chaim now, 14. Reb Chaim is in, not Rambam Perek Yitzayim, like you're based in evil. But first he quotes Lo Rambam, fine. And then he quotes, I didn't read inside, but the Rambam disagrees. Okay, he says the Rambam disagrees. Well, I look at the second paragraph there before. Let's read from the beginning. B'chol osa chayim afilu v'dreshik bur chayim afilu b'sura no avod azar atzma o asher ish osa osa lechi kosher shalechi over koshu goba lechi in pozum asar tochem rochvo over koshu and then in alachu yudal that's alachu yudbeis alachu yudgimel b'chol osa kora avalo v'asher l'fish yesh rochvo v'kor asher v'chol asher v'asher v'asher v'chein rochvo v'kor in pozum v'teva v'va kosher v'akam v'shom o asogos I'll have to lechi because of him. Of your kosher gavo me a tzar shir shir gavo yud. Okay, but he's bonded. You're right that the lechi says the right that it doesn't have to have any width. It's kosher, but it has to have a minimum height of what? Of 10 tefachim. So why does the Rambam say that it's good because it doesn't have any shear? Yeah, it doesn't have any shear of the width, but it has shear of the height. So we have vayta have the same problem of tusim mitzvah shirei, right? And that's what's bothering the Rambam, right? Ubira Dvarim, right? Rav Chaim spells out the B'kol Ma the Tzarach Shir, anything which requires a certain shear possible. B'shel Asherah is no good if it's from an Asherah. B'shul D'Suse Michta Shirei, it's like a shear has been cut apart; it doesn't exist. Val Kain Pasak Rambam, the Lechi the Lesle Shira Gam B'shel Asherah Kosher. A lechi which has no shear, it's kosher, so it can work from an asherah. Masha enokin b'kora the isra shira eshatia al korach apsul b'shel asherah b'shul b'tzusim et l'shira. Okay, so the Rambam explains the Rambam's position is there's a difference between a lechi and a korah. You know, we don't need to know all those details now, but a lechi has no minimum shear, okay, and a korah does. And therefore, if it's a shalah shera or shalah modazara, so the lechi is okay because the shear is irrelevant. Good kusim et l'shir, who cares? The shear is irrelevant. But by the korah, where the shear is part of the definition of the korah, so therefore it's no good. Kusim et l'shir. Says the Chaim, Val zeu shisig arayvin, dinahi de lecha belecha shir l'rochvo, al mikomokar in l'shir gavoyot. I mean, it's a bomb question that the arayvin is. Right? I mean, what are you talking about? The lechi has to have a minimum height, namely 10 tefachim. So, therefore, we should apply the rule of Susa Michta Shirei and say that a lechi, you know, the wood was for Asherah or some other avodah zarah be no good. Okay, even Cain. Ha'ikah Shila Gobo, Chem, the Susa Michta Shirei, Cain, Ha Tzarach, there's possible Tzarach Iyam. Okay, and that's exactly the Rambam's objection. The Rambam is so difficult, right? Who would see the difficult Rambam? Yeah, the Rambam is saying that, you know, the lechi, the shear doesn't matter, because and therefore it's okay if it comes from a bazaar. Something from a bazaar is the only problem when there's a shear. So if it's supposed to be destroyed, so it's as if it's destroyed, there's no shear right now. But if that's the case, it's true about lechi also, because it's a minimum height. So vehine, bein b'divrei arrive and Rambam Chaim says, wait a second. Ramevur daha chilchus of the susim mitzvah shear lo nichlam b'zeh. The etzem adobar choshu k'mi she'eino. One second. Obviously, susa mitzvah shura doesn't apply here Okay? Because even if it's a mashu, but it has to be something, that itself is a shir, right? And if susim michtas shiro means that we pretend this doesn't exist, so then we don't have what? The mashu either, right? I mean, that's a problem for the Rambam and the Rambam. Because the Rambam, you know, the Rambam agreed that in terms of the width, it's not a problem. Only point out, wait a minute, the height. What if we forget the height? Let's say there was no minimum height. Should we know good because you don't have that mashu? That's a b'chad. About Korach, about Cain, Pasuk Ram, the Lechi, the Lesher, Gam, Gishol, Sher, Kosher, okay, Mashayin, B'kor, this is Shura, Eshdi, Al-Kim, Sol, Gishol, Sher, this is the Shura, but I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. Again, Behine, in the third paragraph, the last paragraph, Behine, Behine, the Ram, Behine, the Ram, and Harim, and Mord, the Ha, Chilchus, the Susim, the Shura, Lo, Nichlom, is it, it doesn't come up here, the Etzem, Hadomar, Choshul, Kibi, Sheinom, Din Cain, Harei Lohay Amol, Had Lechashur, Lechishur Mashu. Came in the Gamma Mashu, Susan Nichols. Chaim In Cain. Harei Gamashu, Harei Gamma. Elavadai. The Yisod Hadinu, the Shir Michtas Ubatam and Ashuri. Okay, yes, the Din is that the Shir, when we say Susan Michtas Shuru, the Shir is disappeared. Aval Etzem Hadavar, Isa Be'ene, Velo Bata. It's not that we say that the item is as if it's burnt and therefore doesn't exist. Poof, it disappeared, went bye-bye. No, the item exists, but it doesn't have the requisite shiur. So Chaim is giving us an insight here into Ksusim Ech Teshur. He's saying Ksusim Ech Teshur doesn't mean that the item is if it's supposed to be burnt and it doesn't exist. It does exist. It just doesn't, it's not considered to have the halakhically required shiur. It doesn't have the requisite shiur. Okay? All of these end therefore. Avo etzem hadover, the third one. Avo etzem hadover isim be'en ever opato. But the item is there, it didn't disappear. Lefizah, the lechi, the mikdash yurei, the komokom ibon lodom alamokom nimza, the kol hadova asara shebo yesho b'mokom mechitzas lechi, came in the isim be'en. Rak da lechi be'atzmo ein bo shiur da asara tochem. So the maisa, there is a lechi here. There is a lechi here, okay? And it, in terms of its width, it exists. It doesn't have a shear, so therefore that exists. The height also exists. We're not in the hands of Chaim's Chiddush, okay? Mikom moko in bono logo ahamoko nimtzu the kol hagova sora shabo yeish lo bimkomo mechitzas lechi. Okay? That area is 10 tfachim worth of that area surrounded by lechi, came in the sibene. V'rak da lechi be'atzmo ein bo shiur da asar tfachim. Dal zeh, ha'mol ha'de tzuzim mitzvah les b'shura. Hashar came here, the da'at sarabami, b'chol mechitzu shusi yachim, the be'inan shiheh govan asara ikar hashir, eno be'etza mechitzus, ki be'hamako. That's what Chaim is saying. If the place has to be surrounded, the place of 10 tefachim high, whatever the ground measurements are, has to be surrounded, okay, has to be enclosed. The be'inan shegova asara shebo yehei mukov mechitzos. V'motzano gova asara shemukov mechitzos b'chol asara shebo lo ichbas lanu klal be'etzem ha-mechitzos im hei matzikos asara imo. I don't care about the mechitzos. I want to know, Lamaisa, is this area of Mukov Mechitza? I don't care about the width and the height of Mechitza. I'm looking at the space inside here. Okay, is this space surrounded by Mechitza? Yes. Are the Mechitzas not considered to be? I don't care. It's not that it doesn't exist. Mechitza does exist. Okay? Alken Gam Hochor. The Lechi Shal Asherah Nehi. True. Ksusi Mechitza Shure. Aber harizel lo mahane rak de etzem halechi les meishura. Aber b'hamokom harel koponim kol hagova asara choshu mukov mechitzas mukov mechitzas mechitza. It is the most of the mechitza. Al kain of him asher posuk arab de lechi b'shul mechitza. Al kain shapne harel lechi gom lechi gom. It's right. It is a good lechi because it is. It's there, and the area is mukov mechitzas. Okay, the zel shemachalik rabban lechi bekora. The bekora dashir tefachu beetzem hakora. Okay, al kain shapu shapu zahakina. This is mitzvah shurik. Shir Malachi, the Etzem Halecha, Hilul Shir Klal, Vashir Rach Vamokom. It has to be a certain height. It doesn't really have to be a certain height. That area has to be mukaf of that height. Ten tefachim of that area has to be, ten tefachim height of that area has to be surrounded by something. It is. The mechitz itself is not considered valid mechitz because it doesn't matter. Okay, the lemais of the area is enclosed. Okay, you follow? So that's some chayim, right? The area, the purpose of a mechitza. Now, so what do I take from all this? The purpose of a mechitza, okay, is in effect to cordon off an area, okay, to set apart an area. This area is set apart. It's set apart by something that doesn't have a requisite shear. I don't care. Okay, it's not a shear in the item itself. A lulav, the case I showed you in the third paragraph, right? The lulav has to have a certain minimum height. Okay, the lulav has to be 4 tefachim. So therefore, lulav shal shear is no good. Why does that? Does that 4 tefachim? Okay, here the purpose of mechitza. It's not a din in the mechitza. It's a din in the enclosed area. This area has to be set apart from mechitza, and it is. It is. Is this area 10 tefachim? This area set apart? Yes. Good. So therefore, it's good. Okay, that's the Yisod HaRuchan, clear? Okay, so now, bringing this back to us in terms of Sukkah. So what comes out is, seems to me, what comes out is that the finals of a Sukkah as well, the goal is to set the area apart. The Mechitza, the finals of the Sukkah are setting the area apart. Okay, the area has to be, inside the area has to be Mukuf Mechitza. Yeah.
So here we're comparing the lechi to the wall of the sukkah.
Just in the sense that I'm comparing it in terms of what its mission is, what we have it for. What we have it for. It's a problem with the Rambam who said that mechitza is, but it's not a problem, because it could be that mechitza is that plus, and it's what I'm saying, plus something else. It has another role. According to the other Rishonim, it works out better, I agree. Okay, but according to Rami, you could say it has a second role. But at least let's look at it this way. At least one function of mechitza, which again, what I'm trying to point out, I don't think we've thought. I guess we've got to be honest, but you know, I don't think we usually tend to think about the role of the mechitza as set of a sukkah. The tefanos of a sukkah is to set the area apart as its own distinct area. I'm trying to say that it has that. You want to say that it has other functions? Okay, the Rambam will say that. Rambam the Rosh, right? The Rambam will agree with that. So it's okay. It's not necessarily a refutation of this. But one function, I'll call upon him, of the mechitza. And again, we have to go back to this Tosus. Tosus is saying that otherwise, what is this riot from the Aron? Who's talking about separate Rishuyos here altogether? There was the whole riot. From the Aron, and you know, that's a separate Moshe that came. The Aron never came down. Moshe never went up, or whatever. What's it got to do? Good, it adds up to 10, 12 in the separate area. Who cares? But apparently, part of the din of a, and again, comparing to Sukkah Daf Chav Dalet, okay, but Mechitza Eliyahu Lava Baruch Mitzuya, okay, the same thing. And here, I'm not saying that therefore the Mechitza doesn't need a shear. I'm not saying that far. I'm saying that one of the functions of a mechitza is that the area of the finals of the sukkah is the area should be enclosed. And that a sukkah has to be an enclosed area. With that, okay, I think we can understand, and we'll get to it. I don't know, maybe we'll start it today. I don't know if we'll finish the next group of Myra Comas today. But now, first of all, it's something that always, you know, it has to be a makom choshev. A sukkah has to be a makom choshev. And this will throw us into the whole issue again of Diras Rucha, okay? Which the Pnei Yoshua, I don't know if he got up to it, not yet. So then tomorrow we'll do it. But I'm going to start it today, but I'm going to do something else first for a moment. But that Pnei Yoshua, and our sugya asks, what do you need a whole lumdus and a limud from the Aram here? The Pnei Yoshua, the Sasavis, everybody asks, what do you mean? Yeah, it has to be 10 Tvach alike, otherwise it's Diras Rucha. What's this whole. You know, say, oh, come up with a tirutzim, but we're going to say an akasha. Okay, isn't it, if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's a diras sukkah. We spoke about that already, right? But now we're crystallized, so we'll say, what does it mean, diras sukkah? Okay, so we thought until now, and I'm not saying it's wrong, the diras sukkah is it's lacking, it's lacking, it's lacking, patience can't do it, right? But now we're saying more than that. Dira Srucha, and this is what, you know, goes back to that thing that was always in the back of my head, that posters on basement, or the Lul Shalpana Golem. Remember that? You know, what's the problem with it? So it's not a Mokum Choshev. It's not just a, there's two dinim. There's a din of a Dira. There's also a din of a Mokum, a Mokum, a space that has a Sukkah Kashivas. That's what I think perhaps emerges from this sugi. You follow what I'm saying? You know, somebody punches out this way exactly, but I think it makes some amount of sense, at least worthy of of consideration. Okay, in other words, because it always bothered us. I never had a clear havana really in what the Tosa said. You know that if it's no good, if you can't fit in, it's a little shaltana going. So again, we always thought it was a lack in teshu came to do it. I'm not saying it's wrong. And that's usually how we learn Dira Srucha also. But here we're saying something more than that. It has to be a halachic makom. Halachic makom is distinct from the places around it. It's got to be its own a special place, a sukkah. A sukkah has a special din, right? I mean, you want to take further on the Rav HaDrush, Keshem Shechal, Shem Shemana, a sukkah, you know, it has to have a special status, so to speak. It almost becomes, if you will, a chetah shel mitzvah. Yeah. Right. So I think you put this together. It's, you have both. There's really two din. There's a problem with chitzas. That could be what he meant. And I forgot. You're right. I forgot that was really right. Okay. But I just want to say that it's a creation of a makom. I like makom. That's what emerges in here. It's not enough. And that makes the question in a certain sense even stronger. Once you have Dira Srucha, well, that could be an answer to the question too, but the way that Achronim asked, what do you need all these, limudim from it's a problem of Dira Srucha. Why does it say it's Dira Srucha? Okay, so we want something more than Dira Srucha, so afterwards, I didn't put it in my comments. I actually didn't think of it until today. And it doesn't quite, I was hoping he ties it. Rav Schechter in the Sefer Mikra Tzom, which is the second Sefer, so he has in the back a very little essay on Yonin Nisuin. It's in the Lamed Tavs, Yonin Nisuin. So one of the things he talks about in Yonin Nisuin is the idea of what a chuppah is. Okay, chuppah is supposed to be a bias, right? It's supposed to represent the house. It's got four poles and a canopy on top, right? I mean, today you have all kinds of fancy things with chuppah, flowers, this and that. But I mean, the basic idea of a chuppah is, it's a place, and that represents the house of the chosin. That's why the chosin walks down first, and then the kala comes in. It's symbolic. The chuppah is bringing into the house. Now, he talks of a difference between an amana and a... But anyway... So he mentions he says the possibility, that there's some who are machmir, that he doesn't accept it, but he says, he quotes, in Ebenezer Simon Nunhei, Sivala, you can look it up, it's Simon Lamites, it's the first, it's Os, it doesn't have divided by Os, Rav Schechter's Bikvetzel. Okay, I'm just going to mention an article on BCT took years ago, but it's the first piece, the first subject in that siman. So he says, Shazemi din suras ha-pesach. The choshev k'rishus b'fnei atzmo. The chuppah is supposed to be like a rishus b'fnei atzmo. U'ke'ilu ichnisa choshev v'rishuso. Okay? Shazel ikur yisov din ha-nisuin sh'arusa yeshes yishayin v'yis ha-bal v'nasu yeshes yishayin v'yis. Right? That's the difference between arusa. Again, when we speak about a couple, I guess Philip with all due respect, when we speak about a couple, today when we say they're engaged, with Baruch Hashem, but what does it mean? Doesn't mean anything on halacha, right? I mean, there's no binding, we're speaking about, that's why I don't like to translate erusin as engagement so much, because it mixes people up. It's not actually a bad translation, except for the way we use engagement. What does it mean now? It means you're going to pick a hall, and you're going to find a caterer, and a band, and photographers, and everything, huh? Right. Don't bring it up. I always tell the chassan that they should enjoy the engagement. Oh, it doesn't, I mean, everyone wants their wedding, Baruch Hashem, but forget it, it'll be fun no matter what. The dance is good. The 5 pieces, 8 pieces, I'm not worth my focus about it. You know, they say that Rav Yaakov Kanessa on Bracha, so by some, it's too many set down, I'll tell you, but by some families, the two fathers walk down the chos and the two mothers walk down the column. The meaning is that the parents walk down their own child. The father and the mother walk down the chos and the father and the mother. Okay, different. So they asked once Rav Yaakov Kanessa, the Talmidim asked him, so what's your minig, Rebbe? He said, my minig is whatever the Mechutana wants. That's my minig. Not make a fuss about it. There's no din. Whatever's going to keep everybody happy, that's what we're going to do. So, that was a good piece of advice. My meaning is whatever we could talk about. So, it occurred to me, it's the same kind of thing here, that the chuppah also becomes a place, that it's a separate domain, it's a separate reshus, and it has din of it, so it's a Pesach and Mechitzas and so on and so forth. And in fact, he says, that's why there's some people, you can make a round chuppah and this, and then he also quotes the minig. There are more quotes in Simon Samach Aleph Sifal. There are more quotes in minig, which again the Chassidim are very makbid on, that they make the chuppah outside dafka. And now sometimes they're outside with a window, but they met a lot in Eretz Yisrael. Very often the everything's outside. And by the Chassidim, I mean I've been to chassidim by the Chassidim. You know, it could be 10 degrees out. I remember a particular chassid was in a parking lot someplace. I felt like it was minus 10. It was so cold, but it was outside. And the thing is, by the chassidim, there was potato cooking on the back, so you could keep warm. Okay, and it doesn't matter. I've been out in the pouring rain. They take this minig more because the good simon tachas kibas hashamayim, have kikochay hashamayim, like Avraham Avinu went out to see, you know. So, okay, very good. I'll be pashas, by the way. Hashem doesn't say that here, but. I mean, Pasha with Ramon means not that you have to do it outside. He said you can. It wouldn't be a violation of superstition of Los Anachos. That's what he means. Ramon, Alpi Pasha means that it's not a violation to get married outside. Tachas gives you not be a violation of Los Anachos and the superstition, that kind of thing. Not you have to. Okay, they. So he says, but that's Alpi Kabbalah and somebody. He says, no. He says, maybe, you know, the idea is having it outside because when inside, so that. The question is, does that make it a separate domain, or you have the walls of the room? So everything that's inside that room is part of that room. So dafka they want it outside because it's a separate domain. Anyway, you can read through it here. And, so I was just thinking that maybe he mentions about the quotes in the morning sukkah about pase biros, So anyway, it occurred to me today when I was learning that. That's why I'm putting the sheets. But anyway, but at least what comes out by us, according to us, when a sukkah is supposed to be a makom, a makom on its own. And maybe because in order to be a place of dira, it has to be a makom dira. So put all together, I think. And you're right. I forgot about the beskura, but it's true. There are really two. The two aspects: the mechitzas and the enclosed area itself. By the way, it's something to give some thought to. Yeah.
It's also interesting that Ruch Haim and what we saw.
That's all Ruch Haim.
Yeah.
What
was it about? By Golas, like he said at the end, that I want to be mechali fully between Shabbos and.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
So
right.
Right.
That's true. The last time, so last time. Again, he doesn't say anything about sukkah here.
Right.
He doesn't. I mean, quotes the Gemara. No, did he quote the Gemara? He didn't compare it to sukkah. It's true.
He
does
say
shakim near the Yeah, yeah. So that, but even if you want to split, just the idea that it's creating a makom, I think makes some sense. That's what I want to bring out from here. I just want to finish up this point. As I said before, mechitzas, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a few tshuvas about shul mechitzas, So in Igros Moshe, Arachayim Chelek Aleph Simon Lamed Tes, 15, he says, Hayotzi mizeh gam ebote kenesiyah shemizkab zimzho anosh anosh mizpalo tov yoser lasos gezuzdra. So better have a balcony, so the women are upstairs, like the old shuls have. V'meize tam kosher lasos gezuzdra, can't always be done for structural reasons and so on. Okay, tzvichem lasos mechitzah mamesh. Kazusha Timna Milovel de Kalas Rosh, Velo Sagi Bemash and Natural Mechitza Lechol Dover. For this, a Mechitza, an halachic Mechitza for Shabbos or Sukkah is not enough. Okay? Kigon Besharim, Sukhni Mosharino Shaloh, Ilam Mikdash. It's like the original Mechitza is found in Mesa Mikdash. It's actually Sukkah at the end of Sukkah. Okay, but the Simchus Beis Hashoeva, but it's at a separate place for men, separate place for women. And that's the mucker for separating men and women in Mikdash. So, but anyway, so he says, and he considers it a derisive, Moshe does. Okay, Maror agrees with that, but that's what he's Velochein lo sagi gam mechitza sar tochman akarka. He says a mechitza that's only 10 tochim, read 36, 38, 40 inches, is not enough. She'ena klum in kalas rosh, that's not going to minimize the light, you know, inappropriate behavior to a woman. Shari chol and daber. He can talk, that high, he can talk. The harbo sikh manashim, elishim koshi, he can talk to them and chat and talk. Okay? Will I touch them? Will he give me your hand? May I have a touch of a mizuf? Okay? I mean, the next shabu kurab and mamish, ask me the raisa. Shagur, the mechitza, the dealer bin edges, nashim, lechil, mikdar. He compares the mikdash and so on. So when it comes to mechitza of a shul, for Moshe holds that it's a mechitza of 10 tvachim is not enough. Al-Mestaber Lani is Daiti, is the next page, and this is a kula. Shasagi mechitza bar achar ksefayim. Shoulder high. Okay, shoulder high. The rechazina and shemechitza, enem tzad isu istaklus. He said, there's no isu to see. People don't know that, but Rosh writes in Befeirish that in Shul, there's no isu to see women. Okay? Because even with the balcony, you can see. Right? It's not a matter of seeing. That's why Moshe has room in a different shul. He talks about a glass. Mechitza is glass. A lot of mechitzas have the top is glass, you know, or plastic, or frosted. Well, frosted glass, okay, you can't really see, but other types of glass or artwork or whatever. Moshe is make art. Okay, others disagree. But in any event, that's what he said. But his point is that I want to bring out was that it's not enough for mechitza. It's not the same din. In terms of Rav Soloveitchik, there are different. Opinions exactly what he said in terms of the height of mechitza and shul. Supposedly, he told the Rosh Hashanah was like the joke that he told people also shoulder height. Now, the Rebbe was a tall man, and Moshe was a short man, okay? And yet, and somehow, the shoulder height of Moshe came out higher than the shoulder height of Salvechi, even though Salvechi was taller, his shoulder was higher. But in that, in Mitnine Harav, Rosh Hashanah writes, look in the page Nun Beis, look in the back. Orthodoxy, show Pennsylvanians, Rakhli Yom Noroim. You know, a guy got a job here. The fourth floor, they gave him a job to go out to Pennsylvania for Yom Noroim. Well, Arvich was a sum chaga, he got a nice salary. And it was a shama shamachitra, and I said, Tzas pchusim arbaim inches. It was lower than 40 inches. Vishol eitzim arbeinazal, im lakacha samishol olo. The hey shivo she ain't on in anochem, and so the shalom have told not to take that shul. The shalom also told me about a shalom om bishmicha she mespeak on the chishi bas yud tvachem, behind the lam and bav inches. What do you say? It is the same din as a regular mechitza. The kanar ek tzas yosek over there. The hey shivo emes kain hadover, a chani mili berav she bedaito li yoshama meshach kol hashana. That's talking about a rabbi who's taking over a shul. And eventually, he's going to be able to convince the people, to even try to convince the people to hire the mechitza. In other words, okay, we'll have to give him musul balabatim, we'll lam them torah mitzvah, so I'll spi aleim. Avol she'echad yelach shem rak kama yomim. Okay, how much is influence you have on the guy? Yom the roim, leaving the next day, right? Velo yuchal shem tchal kol ka v'gam she'en lo shom duchuk panosa. The guy did not have, this guy was not a poor guy, he lived with his parents. So he says, enam in anochim. So, the Rav held like this, apparently. He did apparently hold that the height of a mechitza, called Tarkulu, of 36, was b'dieved good enough. But he said that's really only extraordinary circumstance. Therefore, he told the Talmidim not to go there. If you're going to go there and you're eventually going to become the Rav, then you're going to inspire the people to raise the mechitza, no good. Okay? But as it presently is, just to go there for a couple of days, you think so you shouldn't go. So in any event, I think that is the general consensus of in terms of mechitza and a shul, it's a totally different din. Okay, but mechitza. Okay, let me just add one thought. The next source is talking. So 17 is the man shul. So I said, is that kasha? What do we need this whole limit for? But you didn't get a chance to do it. So I said one thought on Derech Musa. You know, it says that the Baruch Hu never came down more than 10 tefachim. You know, within 10 tefachim. And that's the idea, I think, that someone will point out that today that people want to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to here. Right? And we should bend everything here. We should bend HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will to fit, you know, what we want to do down here. And this Gemara tells us, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not, there's a certain distance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not coming all the way down. We have to elevate ourselves. Okay, and we can't get all the way up because we can't be masik everything up. But you shouldn't be involved in bringing a Kodesh Baruch Hu down here. We don't lower. We don't bring Torah down to us, we bring ourselves up to Torah. This is a contemporary issue. You know, it's a challenging contemporary issue because you want the Torah to be relevant to everybody, but you can't distort it. You know, you have to bring people up to Torah, not the Torah down to people. I know that you know, Salvation Aroha, again, I only saw him at the very end, you know, of his career here in the yeshiva, but he always believed in elevating the Balabatim. He gave his shiurim and his drushes and so on, but to bring people up. It was not for, you know, how much can these people know already? I'll give them a simple pshetl. He didn't. He said everything. He treated, you know, it's a known thing that he used to write down. He wrote his drushes in advance. So somebody told me, I may have shared with you, somebody told me that he went, when he was in Boston, say, of course, the yeshiva day school, there was the Maimonides day school, high school, still there, of course. So somebody who knew the principal, someone went there, told me the story, and the principal told him years later that the Rebbe once came into a third grade class. They finished Parshas Toldos, whatever they were learning Chumash. So they invited him to come in and say a few words to the kids that are seeing him. You know, they were excited they finished all the Parshas or whatever. So he took out a piece of paper and he said, you know, meaning he had tremendous. Doesn't mean that people don't write things up, don't have respect, but he had tremendous respect, whoever the audience was, and he, third graders, he thought he was going to bring them up. You know, you bring people up to Torah, you don't bring the Torah down, you know, and water things down, you know, just for the sake of reaching people. You want to reach people, you reach it in a way that brings them up to Torah. And I think that, you know, that's the legacy of the world. Sometimes, and I don't say bad, you know, but I've been to places where I've heard speakers, like, well, Tamir Chachamim, you know, no question. But they speak before Balabat, and they don't say anything. They say, you know, get up for 15 minutes, they invite me to say something. They didn't say anything of value, because I know in his head, what can these people follow already? It's a bad attitude. The idea is to bring them up, you can. Deal with intelligent people. I myself almost made a mistake once. I was invited to be a scholar resident in Birmingham, Alabama. Okay, a friend of mine was a rabbi years ago. So we went to Shabbaton, amazing. So we went to some place, a hotel in Birmingham, Alabama, a little shul, and I was a guest. So I was on the plane. I was preparing some of my shiurim that I was going to give over the, you know, over that weekend. So you come from New York, you have a prejudice a little bit, you know. So, and both, you know, I said to my wife, like, you know, I don't know what kind of crowd this is going to be yet. Can't prepare the shiur like I give the teenager. Well, it turned out that all these people, they were all PhDs and professors, and, you know, because the University of Alabama, they were all doctors, you know, highly intelligent. They weren't necessarily so knowledgeable in terms of learning, but highly intelligent people, and enjoyed the shiur very much. I gave regular shiur, you know, because you have to bring people up. You should never sell an audience short, you know. Even third graders at the rope, they're rubber. And again, I sometimes get the sense that they invite people to speak, or people sometimes because people show brachas. I'm not talking about people who don't experience young bachurim or newly married guys who maybe have experience. I'm talking about people. I remember, I don't mention name, but I remember going once to a shiur that was being given by somebody who was a prominent talmid chacham. I have his sarm, and you don't write sarm like you wrote without going to learn. But I was there, it was a guest, I forgot what I was doing there, but he was speaking, so I went in, and he was speaking to Balabatim, some work, some office somewhere, I don't remember now the whole circumstance. And he spent the half hour, if I see him all the time, the only half hour of my life, I almost wasted a half an hour. He said nothing, for, you know, because he wasn't much of the audience, I'm sure that's why. It's not that he doesn't have a word, he does. The kind of psalm he wrote, you know, right without the word. But, you know, it's very, very important, I think, and you guys are learning, you're going to say divrei Torah, bring the audience up. You can't confuse people. You can't say such a pilpul, no one knows what you're talking about. That's also no good. But you can prepare things for an audience that elevates them. That's the idea. Because if you don't bring the Torah down, you know, to the bottom level, bring the people up the Torah. Okay. Welcome back, everyone. We shall have a successful Zman Bez Hashem. So tomorrow we'll finish these things.